So last night was our teen Christmas party. You have not lived until you've been to a teen Christmas party. One of my favorite things to do with the teens is the quiz, "So You Think You Know the Christmas Story." And of course they do. They think they know the Christmas story. So when I say, "How did Mary get to Bethlehem?" Why, on the donkey, of course. It's right there in the manger scene, right? Too bad that's not in the Bible. And when I say, "How many wise men were there?" Well, three, of course. It's right there in the hymnal. "We three kings of Orient are." And there were three gifts, so maybe there were three wise men. But again, the Bible doesn't say. And here's my favorite. Did the baby Jesus cry? Because, you know, they grew up singing "Away in a Manger." And little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. And of course, that's not in the Bible either, right? I mean, Jesus came fully God, fully man. I'm quite sure that he cried. So it would seem that, you know, we tend to know this Christmas story more from the manger scenes and the Christmas carols than we actually do from studying God's word. And in just a few minutes, our teens and our children will be ready. They're back there even as we speak in the children's wing, practicing their songs one last time and getting all their costumes on. And boy, I wish I had a video camera going back there. God bless you, ladies. Yes. But I've got a question for you today. If you were at the teen Christmas party, and I asked you this question, "So You Think You Know the Christmas Story," what would you say is the answer to this question? What were the ages of the shepherds that first Christmas night? The ages of the shepherds. Phyllis is shrugging, and I see several other of you shrugging. So that's not really in the Bible either, except for one shepherd. One of the shepherds we know by name, and we know his age. And it's right here. I thought you said you knew this story. It's right here in Matthew chapter 2. He was just a few hours old, and his name was Jesus. So if you would open your Bibles and stand with me, we are going to read from Matthew 2, right here from the Christmas story. We've heard it many times. We've probably read it many times. But maybe we weren't paying attention, kind of like those Christmas carols. Hark the herald angels sing, and we need to pay attention to these words. So we're in chapter 2 of Matthew. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem of Judea. The wise men have seen the star. They've come to find him. They've stopped in Jerusalem, of course, because that's where a king should be, right? And they go to King Herod, and they say, "Where's the new king of the Jews?" And Herod is not happy about this because he's the king of the Jews. He doesn't want a new king of the Jews. And he doesn't even know anyway, like, what is going on? And so he calls his advisors and his smart men and his rabbis and his leaders, and they come, and he says, what's going on? What's with this story about a new king? And they remind him, "Oh yeah, remember, the Messiah is going to come one day." And this is what they say. This is the tail end of verse 2. King Herod asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Verse 5. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So Jesus came on that first Christmas to be a lot of things. He came to be God with us, Emmanuel, and he came to be our Messiah and our Savior, hence the name Jesus, he saves. He came to be king. He did not come to be meek and mild and not crying in a manger. He came to be a real live human. He came to be the light of the world. He came to be the way, the truth, and the life, and the children will sing about that later. By the way, if you know that, Phyllis will put the words up when we get to that last song and sing along with them. In fact, any song that you know, just sing along with them. they might need some encouragement, all right? So he came to be the way, the truth, and the life, but he also came to be our shepherd. And if he is our shepherd, then clearly we are the sheep, right? So let's just quickly review in these few minutes that we have, what do we know about sheep? First, sheep are susceptible to the wolves of life. I was sharing this at the bedside of Mike Crowley's mom yesterday. And despite all the meds that she was on and her weakness, she said, "Great metaphor." We get it. Sheep are susceptible to the wolves of life. They cannot defend themselves. They are helpless. And we know that our lives are intrinsically vulnerable to death and disease and injury. And that's the way life is. It's infinitely, delicately fragile. And life is easily shattered. And we know all this. And so we sheep need a shepherd. Amen? Number two, sheep are dumb. Enough said. We sheep need a shepherd. Number three, sheep do not have strong homing instincts. And I know Deb and Emily know this, okay? When sheep get lost, they do not find their way home. Somebody has to go out and find the lost sheep and bring it home again. We sheep need a shepherd. We are all clearly lost. And Isaiah says it in chapter 53, that great chapter about the coming Messiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the adult Jesus, when he grew up, would say a similar thing in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus saw the people all around him who were poor and sick and lame and said, "I will have pity on them, for these people are harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd." So knowing that we human beings are like sheep without a shepherd, what does God do? What does he send us at Christmas time? What does he put under our tree? Does he send us cookies? Evelyn made some delicious cookies last night. They got stolen 3 times in the gift swap, and that's the limit. So the last person got to keep them. That was Alex, my head shepherd, who even now is back there with our children. So God doesn't send cookies. He doesn't send food and water. He doesn't send weapons. That's another sermon. He does kind of send weapons, right? Another metaphor. Pretend you didn't hear that. He doesn't send us a map of how to find him. He comes himself. He sends a shepherd. That's the first Christmas gift. That the shepherd came, he was provided for us in Jesus. We human beings are sheep. And what we most need is Jesus, the shepherd, who will provide for us and who will be all that we need. And that's one of God's names, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. We as sheep will not find our own food, water, and protection. We need our shepherd. And so that's what the babe in the manger came to be for us. And how appropriate that the good shepherd would be born among the animals. No children will be animals today, just saying. And no animals were harmed in the making of this pageant. How appropriate that the birth of the good shepherd would first be announced to shepherds, right? And speaking of shepherds, our children are about to act out the role of shepherds. All of our elementary school children will be shepherds this morning. Most of them will be either shepherds or angels, the preschoolers. And even our little nursery babies are going to be townspeople today. But our elementary kids are going to be our shepherds. And know today that the babe in the manger is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And he is the one who calls us to himself. Not one single person in human history has ever been able to come to God by himself. Oh, they're excited. So God chooses us and he calls us. He purchases us and redeems us. He adopts us. He does all the work. Saul was knocked off his horse. Peter was called from his nets. Gideon was called from the grape press. Our salvation, and we read about it just a few minutes ago. Thank you, Fred and Donna. Our salvation is entirely up to God. He calls us. He opens our ears to hear. He gives us the faith that we need to respond. Praise his name. He is a shepherd that's ever calling his sheep to himself. And a personal relationship gets formed there. Jesus told him that himself, told us that. Himself. In John chapter 10, he said, the shepherd knows the names of the sheep. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, knows our names. Sometimes I mess up the teens' names and they giggle a little. I call Aurelia Alessandra, and sometimes I call Christian Wesley, and they forgive me because they know that I really do know their names, right? And God really does know our names, and we can know his voice. When David and I came here a year ago, I couldn't have recognized any of your voices. But now, the moment I hear any of you out in the hallway or on my phone, before you even say who you are, I know your voice because we know one another. We've developed this personal relationship. When we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, it's not a cliche. Jesus knows us by name. So we're going to celebrate with the children this morning, and it looks like they're mostly gathered. So we just saw a bunch of shepherds up here, and they're still in our mind's eye, not to mention our cameras. I want to see those on Facebook later today, because I couldn't see any of that. So I want you just to call out the things that you saw that are in your mind's eye, things that a shepherd needs to do his or her job. Just call them out. A staff, intuition, yes. Sheep, he needs sheep, yep. Lead. He needs to lead, yep. Patience. He might could have a dog. There were no dogs today for obvious reasons, but a dog is helpful for a shepherd. A shepherd that has a dog usually has a whistle, right? But what's the number one most important thing that hasn't been named yet that a shepherd needs? We said that. So I'm going to put up a picture here. This picture comes from a children's storybook that I purchased when we were in Scotland, a country that knows a lot about sheep. There are sheep everywhere in Scotland. And I've been using this book the last 2 weeks and reading the story to the children. And we've been talking with the children about what a shepherd needs. And you'll notice in this story, the little boy, who's still in his pajamas because he's a little boy, he wants to be a shepherd like his father. Now, his father is ready to go out into the fields, and his father is wearing two things that nobody mentioned. First, he's wearing coveralls, and second, he's wearing barn boots. I asked Ainsley what they're called. She said muck boots or barn boots, or in Scotland they call them wellies, right? And so this little boy, he wants to be a shepherd, but he's still in pajamas. He doesn't have his wellies yet. He will later as the story goes along. See, sheep are dumb. We mentioned that early. And they're so dumb that that makes them messy. You know, we picture them, I wish they had left me one. We picture them as fluffy and clean and soft and wonderful. But in reality, sheep make a mess of their pastures. And that isn't just mud on their little feet. Okay? The world has a name for that. And it starts with shh. And that word, there's a reason that that word has come to be considered a curse word, because it's the epitome of all that's ugly in life. So think about the barn boots. Shepherds can't be afraid of the ugliness of life. They can't be afraid of a big mess. And so I told the children, and I was very careful to tell them that this is not in the Bible, We're going off script. And we're going to Pastor Lynn's sometimes too vivid imagination. I imagine in my mind's eye that when the shepherds came to see the baby and Mary lifted him up for them to see, I don't know about you, but what's the first thing you want to see? The toes, right? And so I can envision Mary unwrapping the swaddling clothes. And the shepherds are waiting. They want to see his little toes. Again, this is my imagination. This did not get recorded in scripture. But I think Jesus was wearing little blue wellies. I think that when God sent him to us, he was coming to be our shepherd right from the very beginning. And that's good news today, that we have a shepherd that doesn't mind messes. I've often wondered why, when we choose decorations for the Christmas tree, we don't put a little pair of rubber boots on the Christmas tree. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing to have a little ornament on our tree, little blue wellies, to remind us that our Savior is our shepherd? So here's the good news of the gospel this morning. Because the baby Jesus, our Savior, is our good shepherd, he has come to break the curse, and the curse words for that matter. And if we open our Bibles to Revelation 22, and you don't have to do that now, you know this passage, it's a very familiar passage. We read that the Lamb on the throne, thanks to the Lamb on the throne, there is no more curse. No more curse. Isn't that great news today? And that's the good news that our world needs to hear today. There is nothing, nothing, nothing you could ever do to make Jesus stop loving you. There is no place you could go, no lostness that you could ever experience that he wouldn't be ready to come and find you. There is no mess so big that the shepherd won't just slosh right through it in his barn boots and come and find you and pick you up and carry you back home and care for you. Every single person on the planet needs to meet this good shepherd. Because the enemy of our souls has convinced us, has convinced a lot of people out there, that they are too bad, too lost, and too messy. You've heard people say it. God could never forgive me. I've been lost too long. I can't even find my way back. I don't even know where to begin. And that is a lie, straight from the pit of hell. And we who know the good news need to share it with people. There is no muddy, dirty, yucky pasture so mucky that the shepherd won't still love you and come for you. I have sat at the bedside of many people dying. And up until their last breath, the enemy is trying to convince them that it's too late, that they're too messed up, that their family is too messed up, and they should just give up. And it makes me so mad. There are times that I just feel like I should yell, you know, get behind us, Satan. This is one of God's sheep. And that's what I tell people. Right up until the very last moment, the shepherd is holding your hand and leading you to the next step. And you know what? When you're too weak to hold on to his hand, he'll just pick you up and carry you. All you need to do is say, yes, be my shepherd. I'll follow you. Isn't that good news today? Would you bow your heads with me? Are you following the shepherd today? If not, today is the day to start. No fancy formulas, no repeat after me prayers. Just cry out, Lord, come find me. I want to be your sheep. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning that you would put on your boots and come down to our messiness and call us by name and lead us out and make us righteous. Our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and worship today. Continue your good work, Lord. Protect us, feed us, help us to follow you. Tune our ears this morning to hear your voice, to hear your voice more clearly. Give us a singleness of hearing this morning. And may we not only hear you, but may we follow you more closely wherever you lead. That is our prayer. And together all of your people say, amen. Amen.